of Mind Webs. Short stories from the worlds of speculative fiction. This is Michael Hansen. Carol Cowan joins me tonight on Mind Webs as we read Beachhead in Utopia by Lloyd Bagle Jr., a story that appears in Roger Elwood's collection titled Omega, published by Fawcett. Coming from the boardroom with a stack of papers, Miss Phillips said plaintively,
"It isn't enough that it's E-Day and also the end of the month. They want the annual report released today."
Miss Rodney rippled a stack of data cards, fixed her myopic gaze on Miss Phillips, and asked absently,
"What was that? Oh, E-Day and the end of the month aren't what snarls things up. It's the board meeting. As the members walk in, they suddenly remember all the things they were supposed to do between meetings but didn't. Research is in a turmoil." "Research goes into a turmoil whenever anyone asks a question. They think they're being imposed on if they're asked to work one day a month."
She seated herself at the voice writer and donned the microphone and said grumpily,
"I'll be dictating all day. The board will never revise. Well, they'll revise every page six times."
Mr. Help Flynn of the record section looked in at them, nodded, and asked,
Has Mr. Dorr been here?"
"He's at a meeting."
"I didn't know they'd started. Is there any way to get a message to him?"
"There might be, if it's important enough."
"Well, a fellow downstairs wants an interview."
"Is it about an extension?"
"Well, yes.
"He's on the list today, too, I suppose."
"Yes."
"Well, tell him every case is reviewed by the full board before finalizing."
"Well, in my opinion, the fellow deserves some consideration. Is there any chance at all that Mr. Dorr would see him?"
"No chance at all. Do you have his name and number?"
Let me see here. William Zarni, F9704315.
"Oh, I'll look him up. If Mr. Dorr happens to wander through here, I'll tell him the case interests you, and I'm sure he'll see that the board takes a careful look at it. Now, I won't promise you anything. Usually, Mr. Dorr stays in the room until the meeting's over. And if anyone interrupts a board meeting, you'd better be important. And I mean, really important."
"Well, this is really important, at least to William Zarni."
"If you want to take a chance."
No, thank you. If you see Mr. Dorr, would you please tell him about it?"
He left with a nod and a smile, and Miss Phillips sniffed again and loaded the voice writer's feed hamper with masters and duplicating sheets. Miss Rodney was flipping through a stack of files, and when she found the one she wanted, she opened it and drawled,
"Well, wouldn't you know. Know what? William Zarni. He had the full 2 years of training, and he didn't do a lick of work for the next 2 years, plus three extensions. That's what I figured. I mean, I thought the F list had been liquidated. Three extensions is as many as the law allows, isn't it? Well, I'll tell you this much. I certainly wouldn't mention this case to Mr. Dorr. Zarni is one of those slobs, you know, who figures society will support him in grand style for the rest of his life. And suddenly it's E-Day, and he's used up his extensions. Ah, an interview with Mr. Dorr, indeed."
She hunched her shoulders resignedly and began matching data cards with files. Miss Phillips threw a switch, took a deep breath, and began to dictate.
"International Poverty Control Agency, United States Branch, 10th Annual Report. It is with understandable pleasure that your National Poverty Control Board announces new and dramatic progress towards a goal that seemed unattainable only a decade ago, the total elimination of poverty from our midst. Occasional setbacks, such as the failure of a major industry during the past year..."
Her voice droned on, expertly inflecting the chirps and grunts to which the machine's punctuation marks were attuned. William Zarni entered the first bar he came to and ordered a drink. The bartender took his credit card, glanced at it, glanced again, slid it into a register, and touched a button. He returned with a drink and told Zarni that his card expires today. Zarni nodded. He downed the drink with one gulp and marched away. At the Christian Unity Center, Zarni entered the Protestant offices. The receptionist smiled at him.
Back again?
Well, they said I might see Bishop Corlett today.
Zarni, isn't it?
Yeah, William Zarni. She flipped the switch.
Do you have a William Zarni on Bishop Corlett's list?
The flat answer came back a moment later. It was no.
Whom did you talk with?
Oh, I think it was Mrs. Warren.
All right. Mrs. Warren, there's a William Zarni here. He says you told him...
Well, I couldn't work him in. Tell him to come back tomorrow.
Today is my E-Day.
Today is his E-Day. He's been coming here for months. Isn't there someone...
Well, send him up. I'll see him.
Mrs. Warren indicated an interview room, and after a tedious half-hour wait, an owlish-looking young man walked in, nodded, took the seat across from him, and said,
I'm the Reverend Walter Kennedy. Something I can do for you?
Well, I hoped that someone here might be able to find me a job.
The Reverend stroked a smooth cheek thoughtfully.
Well, there are four government agencies, and I don't know how many private ones.
I've tried everywhere.
I see. Well, Mrs. Warren will give you a card to fill out, and...
I filled one out months ago, and today is my E-Day.
I see. Why did you wait until the last minute?
Well, I've been trying to see Bishop Corlett for months.
We aren't exactly in the employment business, you know, and the bishop is a very busy man.
I'll do anything.
Well, that's what they all say on E-Day. You should have been willing to do anything a year ago.
Well, I was. I've done nothing but look for a job for almost 3 years. They gave me special training, you see, and then...
Then they couldn't find a job for you. Most unfortunate, but those things happen.
Anything at all, I'll do it. The Reverend shook his head.
The law is the law, you know. Sometimes the welfare of society requires measures that impose sacrifices on individuals. I'm sure that none of us would want to return to the old system where poverty bred crime and more poverty, and children grew up in an environment of material and spiritual degradation and extracted revenge by preying on their fellow men for the remainder of their lives. You see, by keeping the welfare lists at a minimum, we're able to give an unemployed worker's family a respectable standard of living and maintain that until he's had ample time to find employment. But even in these prosperous times, we can't support indigent families indefinitely on that basis. Why, if we didn't establish a cutoff date and enforce it, in a very short time, Mr. Zarni, the old tragic cycle would be operating again.
Well, I don't care about myself, but my kids are bright, and if they had half a chance...
You've had 2 years of training, you say, and then 2 more years, plus whatever extensions you were allowed. That adds up to almost 5 years, which was surely ample time in which to give them a chance. Have you told them?
No, I didn't want to work.
Did you send them to school today?
Yes.
It's best that way. There's no point in worrying the little ones about something that's beyond their control. I've seen some utterly shameful scenes result when the parents thoughtlessly told their children. Well, all I can do is express my regret and assure you that, compared with the old system, this is much, much the better solution. Now, here, take this token, and I suggest that you stop in the chapel on your way out. The token will give you 2 free prayers in the meditation alcove. You still have your credit card, don't you?
No, then you won't need the token.
Now, let me see. William Zarni, and your wife's name? I'll need that, and the children, and their ages? That's fine. I'll include you in my devotions tomorrow, Mr. Zarni. There's no charge for that, of course. Now, good morning.
The receptionist glanced at Zarni's face, and she said...
I'm sorry.
Well, then, thank you for trying.
I wonder, I've heard that Father Wilkes has had some success in finding jobs. Just a moment.
She telephoned, asked a question, thoughtfully replaced the receiver.
He does find one now and then, but he has a waiting list of his own parishioners.
Well, thank you. I guess I probably won't see you again. Zarni headed up the street toward the municipal employment office. He had been there every working day for more than 2 years, and he knew that he didn't stand a chance, but he wasn't ready to face his wife and children. Not yet. Mr. Help Flynn met Mr. Dorr in the corridor and asked,
Did Miss Rodney speak to you, sir?
About what? Help Flynn consulted a slip of paper.
William Zarni, F9704315. He's on today's E-list.
Well, what about him?
It's rather complicated. It seems somebody made a colossal goof, and he's paying for it.
What sort of goof do you mean?
Well, he was an expert computer technician, the old General Data Corporation's M1095. It's obsolete now, sir, and as fast as it was replaced with advanced models, the 1095 technicians found themselves out of work.
Well, that happens all the time. Why didn't Zarni train on one of the advanced models?
He did, sir. That is, he thought he did, but when he finished, he couldn't find employment. He's been trying, really working at trying, but he's come up with nothing. I first heard about it this morning, and it sounded fishy to me.
I should say so. A computer technician is a demand occupation.
So I checked his record. His 2 years of training were put in on the 1108. Which was obsolete before he finished. It's no wonder he didn't find work.
I see.
And he is not eligible for another training course until he's worked 4 or 5 years.
Well, it was the training center's goof. Let them straighten it out. They can waive the 5-year requirement for cause. And their own goof should be cause enough. Get in touch with them now, and if they'll accept him for more training, well, then we can grant him an extension.
He's already had the maximum.
Well, we can waive that for cause, and his acceptance in a training program would be cause enough. The board has broad powers of discretion, you know. It doesn't use them impulsively, but it won't knowingly liquidate a man who's potentially useful. I'll be meeting the rest of the afternoon. If you can work something out with the training center, appreciate if you get word to me right away.
William Zarni left the fourth employment office. He had skipped lunch. He had not felt like eating. He had two choices left: to go home and wait, or to go down fighting. He chose to fight. He went to a car rental agency where the clerk looked at his credit card suspiciously and remarked,
This expires at 5 o'clock. You got a renewal?
Zarni shook his head.
It's E-Day, eh? You wouldn't be thinking of taking your family and skipping now, would you?
Well, how far could I go on an expired credit card?
What do you want the car for?
To look for a job.
Did you apply for an extension?
I've already had the maximum.
Just a moment. Hey, Wynn, weren't you saying something about some unemployed guy who finagled 10 extensions somehow?
Yeah, why do you ask?
Well, this fella's used up his extensions. You know how it was managed?
Special case. The guy had been disabled in an industrial accident, something about his spine. The doctors were confused and kept thinking maybe he'd be able to work again. It was medical extensions that he got. Eventually, the doctors decided he was a hopeless case, so no more extensions. They took him and his family, I think it was last E-Day.
Well, this fellow's E-Day is today, and he wants a car to go look for a job.
It's a little late for that, isn't it?
Zarni did not answer. He was tired of explaining about those 2 years and 9 months of searching and applying and waiting in anterooms and arguing with secretaries and receptionists, and filling out forms and data cards that would be filed and forgotten. Well, I'm sorry. I just can't take this risk, Mr. Zarni. I don't want to lose my job in this occupational class. One bad judgment, Mark, and I'd be on my way to E-Day myself.
Oh, I understand. Thanks anyway. Zarni turned away, more resigned than resentful. It hadn't been a good idea anyway. He had little time left, and he shouldn't be wasting it driving around. Outside, his gaze focused on the massive, ugly tower of the federal building, which, as everyone knew, had more computers per unit of floor space than any other building in the city. He headed that way, walking quickly. Miss Phillip, grumbling that they meant to keep her there all night, began dictating page 7 for the fourth time. She reached the bottom of a column of figures and paused for breath. Miss Rodney was sorting through the next group of files. A messenger entered and handed her an envelope. She glanced at it skeptically.
Mr. Dorr. Urgent. Deliver immediately? I'll bet. William Zarni again,
Well, what about him?
Oh, something about his classification. It can't be all that urgent, but it's not my neck. Helpflin Hot signed it. Still, just to be on the safe side, why don't you take it in when you have the next pages read?
At the federal building, the receptionist said firmly,
I don't have to check. We haven't had a call for that job code in years.
Well, would you please check it anyway?
All right, if you insist, but I know that... Yes, Mr. Brakely?
Have you found anyone who can service a 1440?
No, sir. I've checked all the employment services, and I just don't...
Get on the phone and borrow a technician from somewhere, will you? Get hold of someone. We're already a week behind with the tax statements, and the whole third floor is sitting around waiting on that damn machine.
I'll try, sir.
Is that a GDC 1440?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
That's my machine.
No, yours is a 1108.
Look, I should know. I had 2 years of training on the 1440.
Well, let's see your classification card again.
She snapped it into a machine, read off the code, opened the classification manual.
A means you're a Class 1 technician. G is for General Data Corporation. K means the 1100 series machine D.
I never knew that. I mean, they gave me the card, and I just assumed... No wonder I couldn't get a job.
You actually trained on the 1440?
Yeah, I trained on it for 2 years, and they sent me their modification specifications ever since.
And someone punched your MasterCard wrong. Mr. Brakely, I have a man here. He has the wrong classification, but he claims that he trained on the 1440s.
We'll soon find out. Send him up.
Back at the records section, Mr. Helpflin asked,
Is there any reply yet?
The memo just went in.
But I marked it urgent.
Oh, so how urgent is urgent?
Those who've had extensions are always processed first, and he's had 3 extensions. He'll be one of the first ones taken.
So it's only 4:00.
Yes, but that leaves just an hour, and I don't know how long it takes to process a cancellation.
Well, what's all the fuss about?
Well, this fellow trained on the latest model computers, but someone made an error in coding his classification. His data card makes him an expert on an obsolete model, so, well, of course no one would hire him. Now that his classification has been corrected, he can go to work anywhere. They tell me downstairs the 2 1440 technicians are needed in this building now, and they'll hire him this very afternoon if he'll apply. Well, I'm going in there and straighten this out now.
It's your funeral.
Helpflin marched away and was back 2 minutes later, triumphantly waving an official cancellation card.
Now, all I have to do is find a messenger and then... No, in fact, I'm going to take this over to E headquarters myself.
There's a short circuit in Bank 10, Zarni announced.
Mr. Brakely said.
How long will it take to fix it?
I've already fixed it.
The devil.
And you say you've been out of work? How long? Well, after I finished retraining, it was 2 years and 9 months.
Those idiots. Idiots. But why didn't you catch the error yourself?
You can't tell that a card's punched wrong just by looking at the holes. See, even if I'd put it on a machine, that particular code wouldn't have meant anything to me without a manual. And no one ever said we don't need anyone for the 1108s. They always said we don't have any openings in your classification. So naturally, I assumed they were referring to the 1440s.
Yeah, everyone needs 1440 technicians. I'm putting you on the night shift. See how many machines you can have operating by morning.
Yes, sir, but this is my E-Day, you see.
I understand, I understand. I'll take care of that. You concentrate on those 1440s.
Miss Rodney and Miss Phillip, starting their second hour of non-compensated overtime because they could not leave until the board adjourned, had their boredom relieved momentarily by a clash between Mr. Helpflynn and Mr. Dorr.
We issued a cancellation, Mr. Dorr said. We took care of the cancellation. I handed it to you myself. What did you do with it?
I delivered it in person.
Well, so what's the trouble?
You did not grant an extension. They crossed off his name, but see, the minute his time expired, the Master E computer issued a warrant for him.
I see. We didn't think about that. Busy day, you know.
That warrant overruled the cancellation. Without an extension, it had no legal validity. Zarni's wife and children were picked up on schedule and taken directly to the ovens. In the meantime, the fella got himself a job.
Really? Good for him.
His employer sent in the information and a request that he be removed from the E-list. Because he wasn't home when the E-Squad came for his family, a warrant had been posted on him. He was eligible for E-treatment on site because of the expiration. As soon as his boss's message hit the master computer, the computer dispatched a squad to pick him up at his place of employment. Imagine that! Arresting a man on his job and hauling him away to be exterminated because he's unemployed.
Well, did they get it straightened out?
Yeah, of course. The error in his classification has been corrected, and he's been removed from the E-list because he's now employed, but he and his family are still dead.
So, why did you call me out here? There's nothing we can do about it.
I called you out to tell you that the board is going to have some explaining to do, Mr. Dorr. The man's employer was the federal government, and the local office is suffering from an acute shortage of computer technicians. The office manager is threatening to demand a congressional investigation.
Well, that's easily taken care of. Give him a priority and find the technicians he needs. Until you do, loan him one of ours.
He turned to Miss Phillip.
A few changes in this page, please, Miss Phillip. These are the last, I promise. We're down to our final order of business.
Mr. Dorr hurried away. Helpflynn stonily headed in the other direction. Miss Phillip flipped a switch and donned the microphone.
Because of the low unemployment rate and the anticipated continuing reductions of joblessness, this branch of the Poverty Control Agency will be able to cut its staff immediately by 20%. Further personnel reductions of at least an additional 30% should be possible during the coming year, with a resultant savings.
Miss Rodney gasped.
What was that?
Miss Phillip looked up in surprise, turned off the voice writer.
I wasn't paying any attention. I could dictate in my sleep. Oh, and after a day like this, I probably am. Cut its staff. Further personnel reductions. Oh!
Miss Phillip and Miss Rodney stared at each other. The board's final order of business. Dismissal notices. You
You've heard a story by Lloyd Biggle, Jr. titled Beachhead in Utopia. It appears in Roger Elwood's anthology, Omega, published by Fawcett. This is Michael Hansen. Reading with me was Carol Collin. Technical operation for this broadcast by Rich Grody. MindWebs is produced at WHA Radio in Madison, a service of University of Wisconsin Extension.